Hello, Success Snackers, and happy 2026. How you doing? I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at Entrepreneur.com, and welcome to a New Year's snack-sized edition of our show, How Success Happens. Maybe super producer Emily can add the sound of me blowing a party horn or something festive like that? Thank you if you did. And if you didn't, Emily, I guess we now know how you feel about me, and more importantly, our listeners. Anyway, so at first I was going to do this whole resolution theme to the show, but then I was like, God, that sounds really annoying to make, and more importantly, more annoying to listen to. So I was like, no thanks. Instead, I thought we'd kick off the new year with a pep talk from this incredible guy I spoke to a few years back. His name was, well, and continues to be, Colin O'Brady, who did and continues to do insanely hard things for fun. At the time we spoke, he had just released his memoir, The Impossible First, which documented his attempt to walk across Antarctica, which sounds hard enough, but he did it with no assistance of any kind. That means no motors, no sled dogs, no sails, no food deliveries. Dude walked by himself for 54 days, dragging everything he would need in a sled behind him until he got to the other side, 934 miles away, one step at a time. And then he did another wild thing. He and five guys piled into a covered rowboat and rowed for 12 days from South America to Antarctica across the Drake Passage. Now, this is where the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans meet, and it is not a happy meeting. It is, in fact, one of the most treacherous waterways in the world, and offers travelers such delights as 40-foot waves in which they could capsize or maybe even die in. Colin lived, spoiler. This was like 2018, so at this point, if you didn't know, you were never going to know. He accomplished both of those things and more, and he likes to talk about the lessons he learned in resilience, pushing through pain, and, you know, to be more blunt, freezing his ass off in Antarctica. So let's get to our chat. I asked him to give us a kind of rundown of The Impossible First, and he broke it all down, including how he found himself taking on such a crazy endeavor in the first place. And that's what we're going to listen to in this first clip. Now, if you want to make this a personal challenge to yourself, do a shot every time I say, yeah, and see if you're still standing by the end of the clip. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah, so The Impossible First, which is the name of the book, was also the name of the expedition that I guess I'm most known for. At this point, I have 10 world records on various sort of outdoor and exploration pursuits. But this project, The Impossible First, was to attempt to be the first person in history to cross Antarctica completely unsupported, solo, so entirely alone and unassisted. So no use of, you know, kites or dogs or any outside support, just kind of mano-a-mano crossing Antarctica. And no one in history had ever accomplished that. Several people had attempted. One guy, unfortunately, died just 100 miles from completing it a few years ago. You know, people have run out of food and had to be rescued. And so people started saying, you know what, that crossing of Antarctica, because you just can't bring enough food or supplies if you're not getting resupplied, is impossible. It's not going to work. I had to carry a 375-pound sled, basically just full of food and fuel, dragging it behind me. And I nearly ran out of food and fuel on the other side about 2 months later after being out there alone for 54 days. So the book really goes through, you know, my journey in Antarctica, but it's really so much more than that. It's actually my own entire personal story. The subtitle of the book is From Fire to Ice, and that's because 12 years ago I was severely burned in a fire and I was told I would never walk again normally. And so it goes through obstacles overcome, and certainly we should talk because it also goes through the untraditional career paths and things I've invented in my own life, and from all this kind of from tragedy to ultimate success, I suppose.
Wow, so that's pretty amazing. I guess probably a question that many people ask you is, why? You know, why did this, why was this impossible first something that you were drawn to do? Was it the fact that it was so impossible? Did you want to go to Antarctica? How did that come about?
I think I got to take it back a little bit. What I've come to realize, what I feel anyway strongly about, is that as humans, we all have these reservoirs of untapped potential inside of us to achieve extraordinary things. And my hope for anyone reading this book is, sure, is edge of your seat adventure narrative. If you like that kind of thing, you'll enjoy this. But even if that's not your specific sort of niche, you know, there's an entrepreneurial story in here, there's a love story in here, there's all these different components of it. But I hope that when people set this book down, they think, you know what, I have an impossible goal, or I have an impossible first within me, a big massive goal that I want to achieve. It doesn't have to be in the outdoors.
Right.
And so it inspires people to make that change. But when I bring it back in my life, where did that why come from? Why do I want to do this? You know, I mentioned briefly 12 years ago, I was burned in a fire. I was told I'd never walk again normally.
Wow.
Doctors just said that. But my mother kind of instilled me with this positivity, this positive mindset, says, your life's not over. What do you want to do with your life after this? And so I said, you know what? I want to race a triathlon one day. And so instead of her saying, oh, you're never going to walk normally, I said, I'm actually going to walk, but I want to, you know, not just walk, but I want to actually complete a triathlon, not something I'd ever done before in my life, which has kind of actually took me towards my 9-to-5 career.
Mm.
So I finally left this Thai hospital. I was in Thailand when I was burned, finally learned how to walk a little bit again. And I started training for a triathlon as I took a job in finance. I was a commodities trader in Chicago. And I signed up for the Chicago triathlon during this period of time. And I said to my mom, you know, I'm going to train for this. And I signed up for the Chicago triathlon. And, you know, even though the doctor said I would never walk in normally, I raced the Chicago triathlon. And to my complete and utter surprise, I don't just finish the race, but I actually win the entire Chicago triathlon, placing first out of nearly 5,000 other participants on the day, which was the moment where I was like, I don't think that I'm any sort of superhuman person or athlete. I think that my mother's instilling this positive mindset and belief in me in the darkest moment of my life actually led me to this.
Yeah.
But it also is the intersection of where my life changed dramatically from sort of the 9-to-5 path, which is, fortunately, I met a guy by the name of Brian Gelber in the same period of my life, really accomplished a commodities trader. And I happened to be at a barbecue at his house the same day I won the Chicago triathlon. He couldn't believe the story. He's like, well, what are you going to do with this? And I was like, well, I'm going to go back to my 9-to-5 job, because I need to like pay my bills, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what if I became your very first sponsor? What would you do then? And I was like, well, I would go knock on my boss's door on Monday and quit my job. And he was like, do it. I've got your back. I mean, it's not glamorous. It wasn't professional sport like the Major League Baseball or something like that, but it gave me the opportunity to cultivate my passion as I got my first sponsor. And from there, it's been a long road of really entrepreneurship. You know, we talk about in this book, this really becomes a love story of my wife and I, Jenna. We talk about this concept of the whiteboard, of taking our goals and we write them on this whiteboard. But we're in our mid-20s, we're writing these crazy things like, I want to be the first person to walk across Antarctica, or I want to, you know, my first world record was to see if I could set the speed record for climbing the 7 summits, the tallest mountain on each of the 7 continents, you know, Everest, Denali, etc. But we had no money, no funding. It's like just this idea on a whiteboard. We're in our 20s,
yeah.
We're sitting in a one-bedroom apartment. And we talk about this in the book, because like I said, it's not just the adventure story, but the process of like taking that idea and turning it into action, which actually it looked like was an entrepreneurial pursuit. It was like, we need $500,000 to pull this thing off. We have 200 Instagram followers, so no one gives a crap about who we are. We have no like marketing ROI to give a sponsor.
Yeah.
We don't know anybody. We're Googling, Google, what's the difference between marketing and PR? And the book takes you down this path of not just, you know, adventure, but this entrepreneurial spirit of, we want to have impact in the world. We want to start an nonprofit, we want to start this business, we need sponsors to do these things, but we have no idea. And so this meandering path of knocking on doors, telling people, you know, 1,000 people saying no, and then bumping into the CEO of Nike in a spin class, and LA Fitness in a spin class, and this weird things that happen, but conspired. And I think any entrepreneur, people obviously, you know, that you guys write and talk to, can appreciate that I have no idea how I'm going to pull this off. But I have a big idea that I think the world needs or the world wants, and let me finally pull this off. So it's a long answer to your question, but with the impossible first, you know, being the first person across Antarctica solo and unsupported, was an idea on a whiteboard. And it literally, the gauntlet had been thrown down, and people was like, this might be an impossible thing. And we actually named it the impossible first, not to say, oh, you know, people say it's impossible, but I actually think I can do it. But it's actually like, this might be impossible.
Yeah.
But when you dare to dream greatly, even an entrepreneurial venture, when you say, you know what, I want to change, completely change healthcare, or I want to create this app that, you know, completely changes transportation or this like that.
Right.
Sometimes you fall maybe a little bit short of the pie in the sky goal.
Yeah.
But you pivot and you created something amazing and unique that has beautiful, you know, effect at scale. And so it was the same thing here. It was like, We might not complete it. Don't want to give away the end of the book, but most people know I did complete the first crossing. I did survive and become the first person in history to do that. But the larger narrative point is when stepping outside of the comfort zone, that is where we grow. And so I always encourage people, certainly entrepreneurs, because I consider myself an entrepreneur in my own way, of like, set that massive goal and go after it every single day.
Right.
Don't give up. Keep knocking on the door. 1,000 people are gonna say no to you.
Yeah.
When you ultimately are successful, it's not gonna be because it came easy. It's gonna be because you worked, you reinvented, you were challenged, you got burned in the proverbial fire,
right,
and you got back up and you kept going.
Still standing? I warned you. Okay, so walking across a frozen continent, like many things in life, is not easy. So I asked him if he ever felt that F this, I give up moment that I have nearly every 5 minutes of every single day.
You will, when you go out on an entrepreneurial venture, find yourself sitting alone in your proverbial tent, full of doubts, full of fears. I filmed this project, no one else was in Antarctica with me, but I filmed a lot of it on this GoPro that I was like looking into.
Yeah.
It started out as a video journal, like, look, I'm in Antarctica and this, but like day 48, I'm in this massive storm, I'm alone. I have this video of me looking into the camera and going, I feel like I need to quit. I feel like I'm going to give up. I'm afraid, all this kind of stuff, like very raw. I'm like crying to myself in this tent. And, you know, maybe you're not going to feel that alone in a tent in Antarctica. That might not be your thing. I don't blame you if it's not. But if you're an entrepreneur, you have felt that feeling. You have felt that feeling alone in an office or an apartment building or a co-working space or whatever, completely alone and going like, I want to give up. And this book, through narrative and storytelling, gives the tools to actually realize like, but if you keep going forward, you can find the end. And I love this quote from one of my favorite books, The Alchemist, which says, when crossing the desert, we often die of thirst just a few moments before seeing the palm trees on the horizon. This reminder of like, in those darkest moments, if you can just rally one other day, one other footstep. Like I said, I did not have the funding to do my first project. I had nowhere I was going to do it. I've been working on my pitch. 1,000 people said no. And then I bump into a Fortune 100 CEO. I don't even know I'm talking to him. I literally think it's a random guy at a gym. But I give my 30-second elevator pitch because the 1,000 other people I failed to convince, I at least got my pitch better.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was pitching,
right,
but it worked. And that was that proverbial, oh my God, the palm trees just appeared out of nowhere on the horizon when I thought the entire thing was sunk. And so.
And then finally, I asked him about the impossible row, which involved 5 other adventurers. And I asked him about the difference between leading yourself through a torturous endeavor versus leading a group through a torturous endeavor. Come on, guys, this is fun, right?
I think extremely different. And, you know, I write a lot in The Impossible First, the book, about the internal journey of being alone. You know, at that time of year in Antarctica, it's 24 hours of daylight, completely blank white canvas. And so not only is it 24 hours of daylight and you're alone, but there's just nothing to look at. And I actually deleted almost all of my music, podcasts, and everything from my phone. So I chose to be more or less in silence.
Okay.
To kind of go deep into that interpersonal journey. And I joke sometimes, I say, it's like throwing a party in your head and both all of your angels and your demons are invited. So, you know, I had some beautiful moments, but I had those deep and dark moments inside my own brain for sure as I was, you know, going throughout that journey. So to have that contrasted by the impossible row, what I just completed with the team of 6 guys, was really different. There's some really big benefits to that, which is to say, like, there's this camaraderie, there's this this common goal, there's this flow that you can kind of get into together when things are working really well. But also, let me tell you, like, there's 6 of us. The rowboat's 25 feet and about 4 or 5 feet wide.
Wow.
There's 3 guys rowing at any given time, so we need to keep the rowboat going consistently. We actually can't stop rowing, otherwise we drift or the currents or the waves would take us. So it's 90 minutes of rowing on, 90 minutes of rowing off, basically in teams of 3, completely alternating. And the cabins, if you even want to call them that, were so small that we couldn't all fit inside. And so when a huge storm hit a couple of times and we actually couldn't row, we put out what's called a sea anchor. We're crammed inside. You know, there's a bunch of like big, strong, like, I was actually one of the smallest guys on the crew, and I'm 6 foot tall, and much average height was about 6 foot 3. we're crammed into these cabins in a fetal position, like cuddled up, like really like holding each other. We're wet, we're cold, our faces are smashed up against each other, we're sleep deprived because we haven't slept more than 90 minutes at a time. And if you're not firing on all cylinders, then people are gonna get on your nerves pretty quickly out there. As you know, a boat is smashing around. It's not like, hey, let me go back to my own room in my own private quarters.
Right,
I'm already wet and cold and miserable and all these people there. So to keep the positivity, to keep that teamwork, yeah. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, we had a few moments of tension, but generally came together as a team. But just in any sort of team dynamic, you know, in business, you know, particularly, or in any sort of creative collaboration, it is amazing when you have a high performing team and you all come together and it's clicking. But it can fall apart real quick if you're not. And when you're tested in a place that, you know, like the Drake Passage, that was quite candidly life threatening, all of those intensities and those securities. So for me, it was, even though I didn't have the experience in seafaring the way that some of these other guys did, I have put myself in such a deep place in my mind on an individual level that I was able to draw on that strength and bring guys together and say like, hey, this is a scary moment. If we keep going, we're gonna get through this, you know, kind of, you know, bringing people and also understanding each other person's kind of interpersonal dialogue, you know, noticing when people were, you know, acting a little bit differently and they needed a bit of encouragement or needed to be left alone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that leadership of really kind of trying to be able to adapt and evolve to that.
Okay, I'm gonna end this snack before we all get brain freeze. I hope Colin's words and deeds inspire you to do something impossible this year. But you know what's not impossible? Subscribing and rating our show. It's like super easy. It is the opposite of impossible. And also, while you're at it, subscribe to our newsletter at info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. We are going to be recapping some of these great chats I have with folks. And when I say that, great on their side. I'm not saying I'm great. I'm saying they're great. We're going to be recapping some of those chats. Also going to be posting questions. And if you send me a great answer, I'm going to read it on this great podcast. So please check that out. It's a lot of fun. And also, hey, while I'm like begging you to do things, why not check out my Substack? This Should Be Fun. It's chock full of silliness. And you know what? It's all the inspiration you need, because most of the story is about me doing something dumb and you'll just feel better about yourself. And also, as always, if you're digging the sweet theme song, check out the band Nika RPM on Bandcamp. All right, Emily, can we get another party favor sound effect to ring in the new year? I hope she did, because then that was just a weird pause. But I think she did. She loves you. All right. Happy New Year, friends. See you next time.